Welcome back to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we get ready to take another look at the promises of our president, President Donald Trump, and we evaluate whether he's keeping his promises or not, whether to some of us or all of us. Helping us get it started, though, technically Teddy Pendergrass, although theoretically Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the song is entitled Wake Up, Everybody.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back for thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair.
And it's so interesting that so many people were saying, hey, you know what? We are really, really fed up with how difficult it is to take care of our parents, our elderly parents' medical needs. So we had something put into place, a law put into place that would have helped with that. A program put into place that would have helped with that tremendously. A lot of people, including our Republican leaders, did not like that. They did not want a program in place that would help our elderly. We looked earlier in the week at President Trump's promises to America. He made quite a few promises to America. And the beauty of his inaugural address is that he did not just make promises to his base, those who were there at his rallying campaigns, as he encouraged some of America's, his base, to willingly physically assault other Americans, fellow Americans who did not agree with their take on life. As he sent out, as he used the code words to make it clear that he'd be fighting against people of color and the poor. And this really drew a lot of people into his corner. So we're listening again, courtesy of the LA Times, is at his inaugural address, and we're taking a look at promises he made, and we're evaluating whether he's been keeping his promises. As I mentioned earlier in the week, he has definitely been keeping some promises that he made to his base and to others who hated the idea of having cleaner air and water and a cleaner earth, safer air and water, who hated the idea of having affordable care for all American citizens. Let's listen to some more of his address and identify some more promises and see how well he's doing at keeping his promises.
At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities, rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation, an education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge, and the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here and stops right now.
I gotta tell you, everyone, that sounded so good. That really sounded great. That really sounded great. Newly inaugurated President Donald Trump acknowledging that our families and individuals in the inner city are really just struggling. The poverty, the educational systems that are subpar in some cases, for various reasons. And on, the factories, the rusted out factories, as he described them, the crime. And he said, this all stops here and it stops now. He talked about a righteous people and a righteous nation making just and reasonable demands for safe neighborhoods, good jobs. And he made it clear that he was going to make it happen. Safe neighborhoods, good jobs. Interestingly enough, the Republican bill that he signed into law for the American budget, the nation's budget, ensures that funds are taken out of jobs training programs. It ensures that even more money than the Republicans had already taken out of the Pell Grant funding is taken out. They had already taken some out. They're taking even more out. So how exactly were the people in the inner city and, let's just say, rural America, not to mention the suburbs as well, but especially where people are most financially challenged, how were all of these most challenged people supposed to be getting the education? Because it's certainly going to cost money. And at the same time that the Republicans, including our Republican president, Donald Trump, have written into law elements of the law that will take money away from the educational system and take money away from jobs training programs, et cetera, as you've heard me talking about, as I've talked about the whole issue of the budget and whether it prospers or hurts. And if it does prosper, who does it prosper? If it hurts, who does it hurt? Is it a budget that builds America, or is it a budget that destroys America? Now, this is something to keep in mind. I've shared this with you before, years ago. It's a proven fact that as the economy worsens, people's livelihood is devastated, crime tends to go up. And you can understand why. The stress, the added stress of trying to struggle to survive. Crime goes up. We have a new law, putting a new budget into place that ensures that the jobs training programs that so many people need in order to get good jobs will be defunded. Much more lower funding. The education that people need in order to get good jobs will be harder to come by because they're taking away more funding that's provided for the education, especially on the college level. So less job training, less funding for job training, less funding for education. Where does that leave people who are financially challenged? And he claims that now the nation will be turned over to the people. Which people? Certainly not all people. Are young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge because of an education system that isn't quite working for them on the level we'd like for it to be? So you have something that really is a good system. So many people having graduated from the public school system. And what needs to be done is for it to be improved upon. And the idea of some, of many, is to improve upon it by taking funding away more and more and more. And our president, who said that this whole idea of our nation being robbed of the potential that these students from the inner city could bring to the table, comes to an end, is ensuring that that same devastating scenario will continue. These are promises that he has not kept. In fact, these are promises that he is violating by the very policies that he's pushing. He promised one thing in these areas, and he's making sure that those promises do not go fulfilled. He's making sure that those promises go unfulfilled. But he promised people in coal country he was going to do for them what needed to be done to keep their jobs. Isn't it interesting that that part of our society that can really use a change? There's no question that coal causes problems when it comes to clean air. There are just so much better ways to literally energize our country. With all the problems that come with coal production, he's keeping his promise to that sector of our society as he fights to diminish the impact that clean, renewable energy sources can have and pushes hard to flip things so that that which was causing problems with regards to environment and health is what's pushed to the forefront again. Our president, Donald Trump.
We are one nation, and their pain is our pain. Their dreams are our dreams, and their success will be our success. We share one heart, one home, and one glorious destiny. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is something that really sounded great to me. There are many great things, many things that the newly inaugurated president at that time said that I thought sounded great. And this is one of them. The oath of office I take today is an oath of allegiance to all Americans. Now, very simply put, allegiance is loyalty or commitment of an individual to a group or a class. It can also be loyalty of a subordinate to a superior, but we're talking about the President of the United States of America. So you're not talking about a loyalty or commitment of a subordinate to a superior in this case. In this case, we are talking about loyalty or commitment of an individual to a group or a class. In this case, the individual, Donald Trump, President of the United States of America, the group to whom he was speaking, as he said himself, all Americans. When he takes away the ability of many, many Americans to receive the education that we need, and this isn't something that's just going to be happening to Black Americans. Black Americans may be hit the hardest, but this is something This is a measure that's being taken by our Republican president, Donald Trump, Republicans in Congress, that will hurt many, many, many people. And remember what Lee Atwater said when he was serving under former President Ronald Reagan. When you talk about economics and stuff like this, sure, it will hurt. Some white people are going to be hurt, but black people will be hurt worse. That's the end game. And so, taking away funding for education, taking away funding for job training, that is not a sign of loyalty to all Americans. It is certainly a sign of loyalty to the Americans who will benefit financially when these people are unable to get good jobs because of the way the situation has been set up and stacked against them. But that is not a loyalty. That is not commitment to all Americans. That's what he promised. But that is not what he's bringing about. And of course, this whole thing about loyalty, part of the beauty of it is that we choose to be loyal. We choose not to be loyal. We choose to be committed. We choose not to be committed. And by taking the steps that he's taking to help people who live in coal country, he shows that he knows how to demonstrate his loyalty, his commitment. And by taking the positions that he's taken that will be making it harder for people to get educated, to get job training, to have their health needs taken care of, he's showing that although he does know how to keep his promises, although he knows how to be committed and loyal, he knows how to violate the very principles that undergird loyalty, commitment.